It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, the Wisconsin Innocence Project has just launched a new initiative aimed at wrongfully convicted Latino men and women. We'll find out why there's a need for that focus.
First, just days after Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump laid out his economic plan, his Democratic opponent Hillary Clinton gave an economic speech of her own today from the same city, no less. Here's Clinton from earlier today.
There is too much inequality, too little upward mobility. It is just too hard to get ahead today. But there are common sense things that your government could do that would give Americans more opportunities to succeed.
In the speech, she touched on her plans for taxes, job creation, and trade, among other things, and took several jabs at her opponent, who she says is out of touch with the middle class. So what did we learn today about Clinton's policies, and what questions are still out there?
Here with us now to talk more about Hillary Clinton's economic plan is Ross Levine. He's a professor of economics and the Willis H. Booth Chair in Banking and Finance at the Haas School of Business at the University of California, Berkeley. Ross, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, do you see this speech more as actually presenting Hillary Clinton's policies or more of targeting what Donald Trump had to say earlier, or a mix of both?
Oh, she did the both. She was able to advertise her own plans and spend a large component criticizing Trump's plan and using those differences to explain to people why she thought her plan is better than Trump's plan.
Both candidates speaking in Detroit this week. What do you make of that choice of venue for the economic policy speeches?
I think the one thing that's been clear throughout the presidential primaries and now the presidential elections is that there's a large group of people in the U.S. that have suffered from globalization and technological improvements. And Detroit, the car industry area, is an area that has suffered intensively, and so both candidates going there and giving a talk about how their policies are going to help middle-class America seems very appropriate.
On that note, Clinton spoke at a manufacturing and engineering firm. She talked about what she sees as a coming manufacturing renaissance in America. Here's another listen to her.
What's happening here can happen in so many places if we put our minds to it. If we support advanced manufacturing, if we are the kind of country that once again understands how important it is to build things. We are builders, and we need to get back to building.
Ross, is a new wave of manufacturing a realistic expectation in our near midterm future?
Sort of. Manufacturing in the U.S. can be very successful and compete internationally, especially when it involves the building of high-tech products, which is the business that candidate Clinton was standing in front of, and involves very high-skilled, highly trained workers. I think in other areas, the U.S. is likely to be less competitive internationally. But in that type of an arena, the U.S. manufacturers can be very successful.
What, in terms of government policy, have you been hearing from Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, for that matter, that might help or hinder that kind of job creation?
So from Trump, the strategy is to cut taxes on businesses, to cut taxes on the wealthy, and to encourage businesses and the wealthy to invest in a whole range of enterprises that will boost demand for workers and therefore create opportunities. For Senator Clinton, the strategy is more to provide free college education and provide a very large infrastructure project to put people to work, and also a strategy for providing tax breaks to small businesses and seed money to entrepreneurs to start their businesses. So two very different types of approaches.
Talking to Ross Levine from the University of California, Berkeley, looking at Hillary Clinton's economic speech in Detroit earlier today. Donald Trump spoke there on the economy and jobs as well earlier this week, back on Monday. Now, you were quoted on the issue of how Hillary Clinton deals with Wall Street. A lot of rhetoric within her own party, especially from the Bernie Sanders campaign, targeting Wall Street. She's had support, as her critics have pointed out, from people on Wall Street. How does she walk that line?
I think she has a very difficult time walking the line because she does have a long history of connections, both speaking to Wall Street and being the senator from New York, close ties to Wall Street. And at the same time, there's a big movement, certainly within the Democratic Party, but I think more generally in the Republican Party as well, people who are wary of Wall Street, critical of Wall Street's role in creating the Great Recession, and a feeling that many leaders on Wall Street didn't pay their fair share or weren't held accountable for their role in the crisis. So she's both embracing a broad set of policies to appeal to those who are wary of Wall Street, and at the same time not providing tremendous details, which will allow for a lot of interpretation later if she were to become president about which rules will be adopted and how they will be interpreted and implemented.
Is she adopting anti-Wall Street rhetoric that might appeal to the Bernie Sanders wing of her party?
Yes. She talks about holding executives accountable, about strengthening Dodd-Frank, about putting greater limits on risk-taking, about making executives accountable in a criminal context for the actions of their subordinates. And all of these are designed to appeal to Bernie Sanders followers and I think many others as well.
A big issue this year on the campaign trail in both parties is trade, free trade agreements. Here's Clinton again talking today about free trade.
My message to every worker in Michigan and across America is this. I will stop any trade deal that kills jobs or holds down wages, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
That seems to allow some wiggle room there, if the caveat is, we're going to say, if it's holding down wages, preventing job creation in the United States, if it could be renegotiated and tweaked where somebody could say, well, it's not going to do that now. How much wiggle room did she leave herself there?
I think on trade, Senator Clinton has been very good at leaving herself a lot of wiggle room. She has in the past been for the TPP and for NAFTA, and then over time expressed greater wariness of both. I think that the crucial issue is that there have been a movement toward openness to free trade over the last few decades, and the promise is always that the economic pie will get bigger, and the economic pie did get bigger. But the other promise of international trade is that there are going to be some losers. And part of the anger that's been expressed in the Democratic and the Republican primaries and continues to be expressed is that the society as a whole has not taken care of the people that have lost out from free trade, even though the benefits overall have been enormous.
There's been criticism of President Obama from within his own party, from Democrats and of Hillary Clinton for not doing more to take care of people who do lose out in this country. The factories that shut down in part maybe because of easier free trade. Is there any movement to change current agreements or honor the existing parts of agreements to do that?
It's going to be difficult. I think that it's unlikely that the changes would take place in the trade agreements, that what has to take place is in domestic policies in the U.S. Openness to trade means that the U.S. is going to be able to do what it does best, and other countries are going to be able to do what they do best, and so this is going to increase the pie. But for those people who are losing out in the U.S. has to adopt policies that help them and help their kids share and the growing economic pie. And that has not been as successful as it should have been over the last few decades.
A lot of the talk in this political campaign has been about things like Hillary Clinton's ongoing saga of emails and Donald Trump's ongoing saga of saying things that generate a huge backlash. Do you think in these speeches this week and the reaction to it, we're actually getting some productive discussion of an important policy issue?
Much more productive. It's clear. If you go and you look at Trump's policy and Clinton's policy, these are very different approaches to and very different strategies about how to push the economy forward.
Ross, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Ross Levine. He's a professor of economics at the University of California, Berkeley. He joined us to talk about Hillary Clinton's economic proposals, which she laid out in a speech earlier today.